I don't know if you can feel the Lord where you are watching this morning, but I can tell you the Lord is present here. I'm going to be reading from Genesis chapter 6. I'm going to be reading a very familiar passage of Scripture about Noah. I'm not really going to deal with the ark in that sense. As I would title this message, Noah, God's Man in a Wicked World. The word of the Lord reads in Genesis 6, beginning with the 5th verse. And God saw that there was wickedness, that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. And that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on earth. And it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I've created from the face of the earth, both man, beast, creeping thing, and the fowls of the earth. For it repented me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect. And in his generations, Noah walked with God. Father, oh, I sense your presence this morning. Thank you, Lord. May we never take for granted a tangible, real presence of God in our place, in this holy place, God. And Father, though we're basically doing this online with just a handful of people here, you have kept your word. You said where two or three are gathered together, you would be in our midst. And Lord, we thank you for that. And I believe that the people that are with us online today are experiencing your presence also. Lord, I need your touch this morning to preach as I've always have. Help me, God, to speak, Lord, as the Bible talks about a man or a woman. Let them speak as an oracle of God. Let me be used in your hand today, Lord, and not of my commentary or my intellect, but of carrying a presence of that anointing that gives men and women to those things to say and speak in that hour, in this hour. God, let us carefully consider the words that we will hear today. We'll give you praise, honor, and glory in the name of Jesus. Everybody said amen and amen. And so we've got a handful here with us, and we appreciate all those that are still coming out to make this possible when we do these services here. And of course, we have a number of people watching online today, and hopefully they'll, as the service is recorded and then sent out on Facebook and YouTube, many more will be able to view it. We hope it'll be a blessing to you. But I do want to say how much I appreciate our church family and those that continue to labor as we go through these uncertain times with still dealing with all of this, with the COVID and all of that. And it is good for me to be back with you this Sunday. I am so thankful for the touch of the good Lord, and I'm doing well. And I want to say I appreciate all the phone calls, texts, emails, and everything, the prayers especially for those that were checking on me. And I feel good, and I give God the praise. This morning, for a little while, I want to talk about Noah, God's man in a wicked generation or a wicked world. Many of us, this story warms my heart as far as being a young boy hearing the story. I was fascinated sitting on my mother's lap or on the couch or laying in a bed with my little older brother when we were young boys, and our mother would come in and give us these stories of the Bible, and I was always fascinated by Noah. And many of us know the story of Noah and the ark and all that goes behind that, but I want to look for a little while this morning on the context of what Noah was dealing with in that world that Noah was in. And so I look at this man, and one of the things that stands out to me in verse 8, it says that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, how many of you know today that you can still find the favor and the grace and the mercy and the undergirding and the passion of God in our lives, even in the midst of a wicked and untoward generation. Now, make no mistake, this kind of preaching is never popular because sinners don't like to be told that they're sinners. Wicked people don't like to be told that they're wicked, and unbelievers don't like to be told that they're wrong. But here we find a nation, a world, if you will, where God looks upon the face of the earth and all that he sees is wickedness. All that he sees is the lustful desires of men and women. And he sees the wickedness that in their imagination, everything that they purpose, everything that their heart sets to is completely given over to wickedness. This is the area, the time that the context of this message. But make no mistake, God had a man then, and God still has a man now. God is still looking for men and women, young people and old people, that will say that they can find grace and favor in the sight of God in a wicked and a perverse generation. I love what it says here, that God saw that Noah was a wonderful man, a just man, and a perfect man. Didn't mean that he never made a mistake. Perfect simply means and he was blameless. He was upright. He lived a good, sanctified, holy, and separated life. Even God required that back then. How much more will he require it to us? Noah never saw a Bible. Noah never had a church the way that we did. Noah was not able to experience the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Noah did not know what the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the way that the New Testament church knows it. But let me tell you something. What Noah did is Noah knew God, and God knew Noah. And God looked down on the face of the earth, and he saw all the wickedness, and he saw a man that he said, this is a just man, an upright man, and I'm going to put my favor on him. Amen. Thank God for the favor of God. Understand that, and these are the generations in verse 9, that Noah was a just, perfect in his generation. People will say, well, we really can't live that close to God now. Oh, yes, we can. Because Noah, everywhere he turned, he was mocked while he was building the ark. You know that they never saw rain up to that point. You understand that God watered the earth through the springs that sprung up and the dew and the mist that fell. That's how God watered the whole earth. And the earth was just blossoming and bringing forth all kinds of fruits and all kinds of vegetables and crops. And God was blessing it. And so a man getting up and saying, y'all better get right. Y'all better change your ways because God is going to destroy the earth. I'm so glad that God still has men and women that will stand behind these sacred desks and declare to a lost and a dying and a wicked world, amen, that there is judgment to come and that one day we'll stand before the true and the living God. I want you to understand God hates wickedness. God hates sinful behavior, and he's always warned the wicked before he brought judgment. God will always warn. Everybody knew about this ark. I'm sure it was the topic of the conversation everywhere that he went. I'm sure that people walk by and look at that thing and say, well, Noah has said that it's going to rain whatever rain is, that the earth is going to flood, and if you're not in this ark, there's no chance of safety. Oh, I can hear the preachers of old and the preachers of the day telling a lost and a dying and a wicked generation, there is an ark of safety. It is the church of the living God represented by Jesus Christ and the blood-stained cross of Calvary. And if you get in, you'll be saved. And if you get in, you'll find favor with God. But if you reject and mock the message of the cross, just like that evil generation, there will be judgment upon the face of the earth. So I was looking at all of this and thinking about this for a couple of weeks on this message. And I looked in verse 5 and it said, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination and of the thoughts of his heart was on evil continually. Doesn't that sound a lot like today? Oh, the chaos that we have in our streets, the anguish and the hatred and the strife that we see in Washington, D.C. and in the streets of our nation. And then on every corner, and we see, and not only that, but just what God looked down and saw, he said that the world is full of violence. The world is full of wicked men and women whose thoughts, whose purposes, whose imaginations are continually upon evil. But there was one man that God looked down on, and I said, but can God find a man like Noah today? Can God find a church where they'll say, no matter what the tide of this world is, amen, no matter what direction that this world is going, that there's a people of God that'll still stand and say, amen, I desire the favor and the grace and the mercy of God more than I do the favor of man. I looked it back in Genesis 1 when God had created the creation account, and in 1 and 25 it said, the Bible said that God looked upon the earth, all that he'd done, and he saw that it was good. But now here in chapter 6, God is looking down again at this same earth, and he sees something that is not good anymore. He sees something that brings him sorrow. How many of you know that you can grieve God with your sin? How many of you understand that we can grieve God? There's no way in the world, in this world today, that God can look down today and see the mess and the wretchedness and the wickedness on planet Earth and not be grieved at what he sees. God said in verse 5, he saw the wickedness of man, that it was great. In verse 6, and it repented the Lord that he had made man. Wait a minute now, preacher. Chapter 1 in the creation account, we see God looking at all that he created and saw that it was good. And now in chapter 6, he looks and he says, I'm sorry that I even made man. God help us. If God looked back 6,000 years ago and saw the wickedness on the world and he was sorry then, what is the God of all heavens looking down on this sin, sick, rotten world that we're living in? And you know that God is sorry that what he is seeing. God said, I'll never destroy the earth again by water, but honey, fire is coming this time. God sees this and he says, I'm sorry that I've ever made man. And it said repenting. And you understand this, the word repent here doesn't mean that he repented because he did something wrong. It denotes a change in the direction that God moves. Many of us know that Hezekiah, being confronted by the man of God, Isaiah was told, get your house in order. You're going to die. And before Isaiah could get out of the king's palace, God had already spoke to him and said, go back and tell Hezekiah that you've got 15 more years that you're going to live. Why would God do that? I can tell you why God did it. Because Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and he cried out to God, and God heard it. And the direction that God and the action that God was going to do, he changed because of what man's cry to him was. Remember when God was angry with Israel and he told Moses, he said, get out of the way. I'll destroy this whole crowd. And I'll raise up a people out of you. But Moses interceded, and God changed the course of action that he had determined to do. God does not have to repent of any wrongdoing, but he can be moved by our actions. And just the way that he can be moved to show mercy, he can also be moved to bring wrath. Somebody say amen. Because he looked down on earth, and he saw that every man's imagination was wicked. His devices, his emotions, his desires. There's nothing wrong with desire when it's channeled in the right way. But we are living in a world that is so wicked that I believe it. This world that Noah saw pales in comparison to what God looks down now and sees. Somebody say amen. And so I look at this and I see that God's saying here to Noah, I see the wickedness of the world. I understand and I repent. I'm I'm sorry, God said. That's what he says. God grieved that he created or made man. And I can tell you right now, but there was one man on planet Earth out of all, I don't know, untold millions possibly on Earth. And the Bible said that Noah found grace or favor in the eyes of God. Let me tell you something. A church and a people and a man or a woman, a boy and girl that will stand for what is right, for what is just, for what is holy, amen, will always find the favor and grace of God. Bible says in Matthew 24 and 37, that in the day as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be the coming of the Son of Man. Here we celebrated a marriage ceremony last night here at the church. Just as it was in the days of Noah, they'll be eating and drinking. Just as it was in the days of Noah, they will be marrying and giving in marriage. Just as it was in the days of Noah, they were going about doing the things that they wanted to do. And everything was going on just as it was. But a day come, it started to rain. A day come when God said, enough is enough. And I don't understand all that's going on. And I prayed, and I know you prayed with me, is when this COVID mess, all of this stuff happened. And I said, God, speak to us. Let us, let us hear from you. What are you trying to say to the church and to the world in the middle of all this chaotic mess that's going on? And I was reminded of the sovereignty of God. God may show us and speak to us, but he doesn't have to explain to us why he's doing what he's doing. But can I tell you that God is looking down on a wicked earth, amen, and he's seeing if there's anybody like Noah on the face of the earth, amen, that'll stand up and lead. Thank God that Noah took a stand for righteousness. His children saw, his sons saw him being mocked and ridiculed and preaching all those years and living and building that ark. They saw a righteous man. They didn't see a man in pursuit of wickedness. They saw a man that was in pursuit of God. And because of his favor, amen, they got on the boat. They got on the ark. They followed the lead of a godly man. We must understand, as the church of the living God, in a wicked and perverse world that we live in, we are the example, amen. And just some way, somehow, someone can see our separation, our righteousness that had been imputed by Christ through faith. They will follow us and get on the ark of safety. May God help us to live this life in this last day. Wickedness covers the face of the earth today. Oh, God, if you were grieved then. Oh, God, if you were grieved then at what you saw. Oh, God, I know you're grieved now. Someone say, well, I don't understand. Listen, God is a God of emotion. Yes, he is. God can, the Holy Spirit, we know the Holy Spirit can be grieved. The Holy Spirit can be quenched. We know that God loves. Why? Because he sent his only begotten Son. I'd rather live with the favor of God than the favor of this world any day. Let me say this. We are in a fight, not only in the world, but we're in a fight in the church. Denominations much like ours, thank God for our denomination. We're not the only one. We're certainly a good denomination, but there are many denominations now that are listening to what the world is saying. We're living in a, does anybody know we're living in some crazy times right now? They're trying to rewrite history and to try, I don't know, I don't understand all of this that is going on. Did you hear that one of the last things they're talking about now is that some activist wants to tear down the statues of Jesus because they represent racism and so forth and so on. And all this stuff is going on. Don't think that they'll be satisfied. This is just a tipping point, just the beginning, amen, because God saw a wicked world, and judgment came to them, and judgment is coming to planet Earth again. This time, amen, it'll be renovated by fire. But in the midst of the wickedness of Noah's time, in the midst of the wickedness of the days and hours that you and I live in, God is looking for a just and an upright and a blameless individual. Well, I challenge everyone here listening to me today, will you be like Noah? Will you take a stand for what is right? Will you take a stand for holiness, righteousness, and purity? Will you separate yourself when you look around and you see your children or your grandchildren and know that they have, you have influence over their lives? We see a nation, we see a world that we live in that doesn't care about God. And I can tell you right now, Noah lived with scorn. We're living with scorn. I'm afraid. I wish I had better news for you this morning. I got great news, amen, that God is looking after his people. We have favor. We have favor with God, amen, hallelujah. Wickedness covers the face of the earth. God is looking for a man like Noah. Now, did you see this in verse 9? He was perfect, or he was blameless in his generation. I see a nation slipping into chaos. I see a political system that will, it's like the wind. Whatever the wind's blowing, that's direction. If they can get some kind of advantage out of it, they'll say what they have to say. But unfortunately now I see churches and denominations that are bending and yielding to the dictates and the flow of this world. And we have to be like Noah in his generation. When the world was covered with wickedness and God told him to do something, he obeyed him in spite of the scorn, in spite of the ridicule. I can just imagine his own children, them boys that were working with him, wondering themselves, what are we doing? There was something about Dad. There was something about Papa Noah here that said, hey, this man's got favor with God. This man's doing something we don't understand, but we know that God's favor, God's hand is upon him, and we better stay here with him. Now, everybody was a believer. Everybody was a believer when it started to rain. Come on now, I didn't say they was a faithful believer, but they were a believer then. When God shut Noah into the ark, everybody was a believer then. Everybody was knocking at the door, and what in the world is the water begin to come up to the ankle and to the knee? What is this? And the springs of the earth broke forth, and all of a sudden there is water covering the face of the earth, and it's rising, and it's rising. Everybody believes then. But of course, it's too late then. Genesis chapter 7, I'm going to read a little bit more scripture and then we'll try to close. And at God's instructions, and they went unto Noah into the ark. Two and two, all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. And they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God hath commanded him. And the Lord shut him in. Everybody, I love that part of the story, don't you? God shut the door. And there's a day coming, God's going to shut the door. God's going to say, enough is enough is enough. See, I told you, this kind of preaching is never. That's why when I preach like this, I dispense with the humor. I dispense with the lame jokes or whatever, the interjecting humor, because I'm not here to tell a joke this morning. I'm here to tell you, just as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. The door of the God's grace and his favor will shut one day. You and I, man, if we've not found favor and grace and righteousness and purity and holiness through justification by faith in the Son of God, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we'll find ourselves on the outside looking in. The Bible said the Lord shut him in. And the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark. And it was lift upon the earth, and the waters prevailed and increased greatly and went upon the earth, and the ark went upon the face of the waters. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered, and all the flesh died and that moved upon the earth, both the fowl and cattle, beasts, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man, all in whose nostrils was the breath of life, and all that was in the dry land died. And every living substance was destroyed, which was upon the face of the ground, both man, cattle, creeping things, fowls of the heaven, they that were destroyed from the earth. And Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. And the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days. One day, it's going to be too late. And as Sister Ellen, I'm going to ask her to come back to the piano, if she would, just a few moments as I'll close this message. You know, and I studied this out, and I spent a lot of time reading, and I've read this story 1,000 times probably. Maybe that's an exaggeration. But when I read that part where it says, and men's imaginations were continually evil. And as I looked at that word deeper in the Hebrew, it's not only it was his imaginations, but it was his emotions, his desires. The Bible said that Noah walked with God. He was blameless. He was upright. He was a man who had a deep relationship with God. Now hear me just another moment or two. If our relationship with God is not deep, solid, on a solid foundation, Noah could have said, you know what, God, I don't know about this rain stuff. I don't know about this flood. I'll get on this ark later. I got other stuff I want to do. I've got other activities. Didn't say they were sinful, just things. But God is looking for men and women like Noah who will be found blameless in this day. Because if Noah hadn't have done what he'd done, his family never would have been saved. His children would have never got on that ark. Can I ask you something this morning? If God looked down in that day and he was sorry that he made man, what do you think God is doing now? This month is LGBT Pride Month. That group of perverse, wicked people celebrate what God calls an abomination. This nation that we live in, this state that we live in, they decreed back in March, shut the churches down. If you do shut them down, you can't have no more than 10 people. Close this down and that down. But leave the liquor stores open. You've heard it all before. But that's what happens when those that are in authority whose minds are continually upon evil. The generation of Noah had no internet. The generation of Noah had no television or satellite. The generation of Noah didn't have all the wicked opportunities that we have now in America. There were no liquor stores on the corners. While the churches were closed, they were open. There were no abortion clinics running 7 days a week in Noah's day, but they are in our day. Come on. the day that we live, if God looked at a world and saw such wickedness, and God said, I'm sorry that I even made man. What is God saying as he looks down? In the state of New York, where a wicked governor is in place and a wicked mayor runs the city, they threatened the churches, sent police officers to shut churches down. A rabbi, a Jewish rabbi, was having a funeral. Because there were more than 25 people, the mayor of New York City sent the police to shut it down. And yet when thousands want to march and destroy public property, come on here, they don't say a word. Anybody ever read the scriptures that says that God is angry with the wicked every day? I don't know about you, but I'm glad I found favor with God. I made my mind up, church. I'm going to serve him. I'm going to separate. This world is not my home. I thought I was dying last Friday. And you'd be amazed if you've never been there, and I hope I don't never go there again. The things that will cross your mind that don't matter a hill of beans. I said, God, whether I live or die, your life, my life is in your hands. Church, those that are here and those that are listening to me this morning, you got a choice just like Noah did. You can be upright and blameless, sanctified, separated, and live holy. And let the favor of God be upon you. God is looking for a man or a woman like Noah in a wicked world. I'm challenging everybody listening to me this morning. Will you be that man or woman of God today? I'll ask those that are here to stand as we're going to close in prayer. Those listening to us online, bow your heads. Oh God, this morning, God, we know judgment's coming. The same God that destroyed the earth and everything in it but Noah and his family and those animals on that boat, that same God still rules and reigns. My Bible tells me all through the New Testament, as I read the events of history unfolding and events prophetically to unfold, I see the wrath of God to be unleashed one more time on this earth. And I thank God the Bible said he's not appointed us, those that are in the ark of the safety of the cross of Calvary. He's not appointed us to the wrath to come. Don't mean that we won't face something here.